Deshaun Watson is doing something, and I think it's happening probably this week, next week. He's having informal throwing sessions with his wide receivers in Los Angeles, and Cecil Shores is in with me, and you've experienced things along these lines. When a quarterback does this kind of stuff, like in the before training camp window, brings a bunch of receivers to a place or within the city where they actually play, how important is that?
It's huge. It's all about chemistry, building cohesiveness with each other. I'm getting on the same page. It's building trust. You know what I mean? So number one, if he's going to fly everybody to LA or he's asking you to come out to LA, he wants to see if you're going to come.
Yeah.
That's first things first. Are you going to come work out with me? That's best trust right there. Can I trust him to come? How serious is he about working out? Okay, cool. Once he comes, now it's about just grinding and working hard. So within that 2-hour window or however long you work out, and it's really just routes on air and different concepts and understand like, hey, on this in route, I need you to be right outside this linebacker if it's zone. Or if it's cover two, I need you to be right here. Just getting on the same page, but that builds so much chemistry. So come training camp, you don't have to necessarily build that chemistry during training camp. It's already there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So training camp comes, you're already rolling. And that just builds from now or whenever they start the workouts all the way through the season. So it's like getting a head start. You see a lot of good quarterbacks and receiver duos doing it. Like the Matt Ryan does it every year. I believe Baker Mayfield took his guys all to L.A. a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Peyton Manning used to do it. It's just tons of guys that do it all the time, and it really pays off when it comes to the regular season.
It's one of those things that seems like nowadays, by nowadays, I mean like the last 10 or 15 years, probably since Peyton came around,
yeah,
that this has become a bigger deal in football, like having these extra deals. And I always think back to, and maybe people like glorify it, but whenever these teams have these great comebacks in the playoffs or great games, and the writers will go back through like each specific play, and it's always interesting to me, Cecil, how when there are like big quarterback receiver moments, like a key play or a key third down, like how much the chemistry and the years of being together makes a big deal in those moments. So when I see a story like this, it makes me feel good from a Texan standpoint.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you just look at what Peyton Manning did with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, like how much chemistry they had. They were throwing to each other for years. I mean, and it didn't start, you know, in June or July. They did this year round. They would get up twice, a couple of times a year, and just throw with each other and get on the same page. So when it comes to game time, they knew exactly where each other needed to be. It wasn't a lot of miscommunication on that part. So when you see guys like Deshaun, who's still young, this is his third year coming up, if I'm not mistaken.
Third year.
And then he has a young receiving core too. So those guys getting together is going to be huge. And the more they can throw to each other, like you said, mention it, in crunch time situations, they'll be able to connect and make plays.
Now, you've been through some similar things as well with quarterbacks, sending receivers and such to different places. This happened with Brock in 2016, right?
Yeah, so Brock took us out. He actually flew us out to Arizona.
Okay.
Because he went to Arizona State.
So Phoenix.
So we went out to Phoenix, and we worked out the facilities for like a week and a half. And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. We got some good work in. Now, obviously, that didn't turn out too well because Brock's not here anymore.
He is not. I'm so fascinated by this.
He didn't have the best year. But to be honest, he learned a lot from Peyton. So being under Peyton in Denver, you know, he learned all these things. And he was a super professional about how he went about things and how he took care of his guys. I mean, he put us up in the hotel. He took care of everything. I mean, he had, what, 70, 35 million guaranteed? So he took
right around there. Yeah.
He took care of us as far as.
We talked about that number a lot on this radio station.
Oh, I believe
for
it.
About a year. The exact amount of money he was guaranteed by this franchise.
But he took care of us, man. We had no worries where to work out. We all worked out together. I mean, even lifting weights and running, and then getting on the field and getting some chemistry down. And it was a little different because he was still learning the offense.
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird because he would say certain stuff, and it's like, all right, O'Brien or Gotsy be like, no, we're not going to do it that way.
Okay.
Or, no, Gotsy, I don't think Gotsy was Gotsy there in 2016?
I think Gotsy was gone by that point.
He was gone by that
point. I'll double check. I think he was gone by that stage, yeah.
But O'Brien has something different in the technique or something in how he wanted it. And then Brock would be like, you know, well, I want it this way. So it was kind of awkward, but he Brock took care of us, man. He really did.
All right, so take me through that. So it sounds like things got off to a pretty nice start with Brock because of that. He brings you guys out to Phoenix, and you guys are working out for the week and a half, whatever it was. And what, like, when you're coming off of that, before training camp, what are you thinking as far as expectations for the offense?
Oh, I thought we were going to roll.
Really?
I was excited. I mean, he wasn't the best in practice, but we kind of chalked that up to him still learning the offense. So he'll make a mistake in 2 minutes and throw a pick because he thought somebody would be here or whatever the case may be. But we're like, he's still learning offense. We're going to be fine. We got the chemistry, or we're building chemistry with him.
Yes.
And then I end up getting let go that offseason. And then when I seen what happened with him throughout the year, I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, it's just.
So that was a surprise to you.
To me, I didn't think he'll be that bad.
Okay.
I thought he would at least be average. I didn't think he would be as, you know, bad as what he was.
Which
that
actually
surprised me.
That's actually kind of what they're paying him to be, in a way. They're actually kind of paying him to be average. If you had like realistic expectations, that was my expectation. What about training camp? Like, did you know anything was wrong in training camp?
Wrong with him, per se?
Wrong with him, yes.
No.
Brock Osweiler.
It still was hidden for me. Like, I still thought, and maybe I was blind too, because I'm just my head down, I'm grinding, doing what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? I'm focused on what's going on. And to me, he looked good. I thought he was going to be, you know, a decent quarterback. I didn't think he was a superstar. And I never thought he was like, okay, yeah, he's the next Peyton Manning or the next Tom Brady. But I thought he was a decent quarterback.
Were there any signs in training camp the first year of issues between Bill O'Brien and Brock Osweiler?
Yeah, you saw some tension here and there. Just off of, like I said, Peyton taught Brock a lot. Well, I shouldn't say taught. Because Brock said Peyton would even talk to him some days. Peyton would go about his business. Some days he would help. Some days he would be, you know, just not in a mood or whatever the case may be. So Brock learned a lot from him. So he would step up in the meetings and communicate and talk and say, like, you know, however he feels. Like, hey, today wasn't a good day. That's on me. Let's do better tomorrow. Kind of rile the guys up a little bit. And O'Brien would just look at him sometimes and be like, man, okay, let's move forward. Like, to me, and I know McClain said something different. To me, it looks like O'Brien didn't want him there.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me. I don't know for sure.
But that's the vibe that you got.
That's the vibe I got. Like, these guys aren't getting along, and it's, you know, it's training camp.
It seemed to me like those were two very different personalities. Like, because I think, and you can tell me because he was your teammate, I always thought, and we're obviously going back in the Wayback Machine for a few minutes this morning on the 9th day of July on a Tuesday, Cecil Shorts in with me. It always felt to me like there was sort of a fakeness about Brock. And that sounds like a very harsh thing to say.
Yeah.
It sounds really harsh. And I actually don't mean it to sound that harsh because I don't know the guy. But it always felt to me like he was trying to play the role of franchise quarterback a little bit, where it didn't feel like he was just comfortable being himself and being his own skin. Is that fair or unfair?
No, that's a fair assessment. I think even in Arizona, he was still act the way that you were portraying him to act, if that makes sense. So, but I honestly thought that was just how he was.
Yeah.
Like, he's just super professional all the time. And he was cool. Like, we never had an issue with him. You know what I mean? He was just, he wasn't uptight. He was just professional, or, you know, trying to be the leader, the franchise guy. And he would let his hair down a little bit, but that's just how he was from what I saw. In my couple months with him, that's how he was all the time. It was just interesting to see that, because some guys can turn it on and turn it off, or some guys are just, you know, totally opposite. So
interesting times we had a few years ago. and thankfully, no matter what the issues we have now with a lack of a general manager and a general at times not meeting of expectations, at least we're in a situation where we're watching a good quarterback every single week.
You have a franchise quarterback now. No worries about that.
Year three of a franchise quarterback. Here's my take on where the Rockets are, all right? You and I had a debate Monday about the window, championship window. I want everybody to pay attention very closely to what I'm saying right now at 6:27 today, this morning. The Rockets have a 5% chance to win the NBA title. I know that may sound like it's a little strange or ridiculous, but I mean that in every sense of that number, 5%. Now, here's what 5% means to win the NBA title. That means if you ran this season 20 times, if you ran it 20 times, I believe one of them would end up in the Rockets winning the NBA championship. That in that one of 20, that everything would fall into place. You'd get some very timely injuries from other teams. The chemistry would be right. It would be the one season where Chris Paul is able to stay healthier, feeling good, especially towards the end of the season, towards the playoffs. And it's the one of those 20 in which lightning basically strikes. Now, when I say 5%, I'm a stickler when it comes to does a team actually have a chance to win a championship. That's like a high barometer for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most teams that I watch don't have an actual chance to win a championship, barring like a lot of plane crashes happening. I think the Rockets do have a chance to win the NBA title. And it's a legit 5%. It's not like a fake 5% where a ton of things have to go in their direction. I think like a few things have to go right, some very important things, but I think it's 5%. I don't think the window is closed. I think it's a small opening, but I do think that small opening is legitimately still there.
I got to disagree. I just don't see how, and I understand the 5% thing, but I just don't see how you can say they have a shot at winning the title. Like, it's simple to me. Clippers, L.A., they're not better than those two.
They are not right now. I agree.
They are not better than those two, and they won't be throughout the year unless somebody, like you said, drastically gets hurt. If Kawhi and Paul George go down, if LeBron gets hurt again or whatever the case may be. But I just don't see those guys, that happening. And then I don't see the Rockets, like, they're bringing the same team they had last year back, right? And they dealt with some injuries early on. And then I know in the second half of the season, they were on a 60-game win pace or whatever the case may be. But I just don't see them, and then with all the mess that happened this offseason, I don't see them progressing. I see them staying the same. And to me, if you stay the same when everybody else is adding pieces and building chemistry, they're getting better, you're staying the same. To me, you're getting worse.
My quick counter argument is the worst thing that Daryl Morey did last offseason was basically every move he made in the offseason. Like, the guys they lost, and we don't have to go into the details on the money with Ariza and Bamute, but bringing in Michael Carter-Williams, disaster, useless. Bringing in Carmelo Anthony, as we pointed out on this show, was going to be a train wreck. That was a train wreck. Daryl's best moves were actually all in-season moves. It was getting Daniel House. It was signing Austin Rivers. Those were his best moves. Everything that he did that was actually good happened within the season. And despite a very quiet offseason, I think we can still have that this year. Again, I just want to lay what my thoughts are, like, pretty clearly. I'm not going into the season thinking, like, hey, this is one of the two or three major contenders in the league. But I think they have enough talent and one great player and enough chemistry, and I'm not saying that in a joking way, but the fact that these guys have mostly played with each other for at least 2 years in most of their cases, I think they have a chance. I don't think it's a huge chance, but I think it's a legitimate small chance to win the NBA title. I believe that.
After this year, do their chances go up or down?
They go down.
Okay.
Because of the Chris Paul thing. Because I can't be realistically thinking Chris Paul is going to be close to the same guy, you know, a full year and then 2 years from now.
Well, you did mention he's going vegan. So vegan might help him some type of way.
Now, you're skeptical about it.
I'm very skeptical.
I think him being vegan could be a little extra edge. You know, you get older, you want to, like, lose an extra pound or three or five going into each next season, and I think that could help him out.
Maybe it will help him. We'll see. I'm just not sold that vegan will help him defeat age.
We'll see him in October. I think he was actually at a summer league game last night.